Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
Well, hello everyone, and good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on when you're listening to the podcast. My name is Gil Michelle. I'm here with Kevin Michelin, and this is His Stories Broadcast. But before we get started with anything, let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for being so good to us. We thank you for another day you've given us. The writer says in the word of God, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And so, Lord, we thank you for another day you've given us. We make up our minds and we will ourselves to rejoice in the day you've given us. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, hello, Kevin.
Hey, Gil. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. Good to be seen.
Yeah. Absolutely.
How are you doing today?
You know, it's one of those days where it's kind of more of a reflective day so far for me, and it's good to have those days. Usually, I'm just kind of running and gunning and running and gunning, and this morning, God just gave me the opportunity to just kind of reflect, and man, I need more of those days. Just to even, you know, put that in my schedule and just say, okay, you know what, I'm going to reflect. And so that, it's been just a very rich, valuable morning so far for me anyways. So how about you?
Good. Somewhat similar. So much going on and still battling through this identity theft thing I went through last week and still don't have control of my emails and all that. But, you know, I tell you, I'm sort of discipling someone, and that was one of the things we talked about was taking time to reflect. Now, we met in a coffee shop, and one of the exercises was to just stop and listen, not eavesdrop on conversations, but but be mindful of things that you wouldn't hear if you didn't really stop and listen. And so I thought about that, and I was preparing for meeting with this gentleman to disciple him, and I did the exercise myself. And it's just funny what you listen, what you hear when you listen. And you hear birds, you hear traffic, you hear trains. You know, I live not far from a train, and you start, oh, man, how many times does this thing go through a day? And you're like, wow, it's a lot. And, you know, but you're not listening. It becomes almost white noise. And I think the same thing happens when we don't listen to the Lord and we don't hear things. You're like, oh, man, God's not speaking to me. Is he? Is he not speaking, or are you not? Are we not listening? So I'm in the same spot as you. I'm kind of doing a lot of reflecting and realize just how much I don't take time to do that.
And especially in this pace of the Western world, it almost calls you someone that's a slacker if you're doing that reflecting. And so we live in a kind of a odd culture. So anyway, we have an incredible guest. Enough about us, right? We
always
say that, and we have. I look forward to all of our guests, but you know, this is one of those guests where his name's Josh Eaton, and I have been we've been in correspondence with one another at this men's group. Correspondence, that's not like we're writing letters, you know. I don't write letters. We've been able to enjoy the same men's group now at this church in Napanee, and been able to hear his heart different times. And it's got an incredible ability to lead worship too. So I'm Josh. I am super glad that you're here, being able to be a part of His Stories broadcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Super excited to be here.
Yeah, and you got a little bit of a drawl there. It's where's that from?
That's from Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas.
Oh, man, I thought you were from Boston. Wow, okay.
I think that drawl is going to carry well, I think, on the radio.
All right.
But it's been rich because I've been able to hear some of your story, and we, even before we started, we were able to hear a whole lot more. And so I'd love to just, you have a great heart for the Lord. If you could just share some of the things that, you know, maybe, you know, first of all, what your love for the Lord, what's that all about, and how did that come about, maybe, if we could start there.
Yeah, sure. You know, we'll talk a little, we'll definitely dive into parts of my testimony here in a few minutes. But with a testimony like I have, And when God comes along and does what he does and ransoms a person's soul and sets the captives free, he just makes himself so real that in that moment when he made himself real, I knew that there was no other thing to do with my life at that point than to give it to him. And, you know, we'll talk about that here, but I've just given my life to the Lord and said, God, you do what you want to do with it. And it's a journey, you know, and I'm on the journey. And the further that I go in this journey with the Lord, you know, the more that I realize how far I have to go.
How did it begin? How did you come to know the Lord?
Well, I actually grew up in a Christian home.
Okay.
So from a young age, you know, I knew of Jesus. My parents were divorced, but both my mom and my dad knew of the Lord themselves, you know, and they were good Christian church-going people, you know, and so I was there Sunday and Wednesday and all that good stuff. So I was raised in church, you know, probably part of the core group of kids in the youth group and everything like that, you know, the good story there. But, you know, kind of getting into my testimony a little bit, about the age of 12 years old, you know, you begin to come to a place of starting to make choices and having a little bit of understanding of some different things, you know. And so at about the age of 12, although I was a part of that core group of kids at the church, you know, I really began to make my choices not to follow after Christ, but instead to follow after, you know, the things of the world. I had friends, you know, who were influences on my life, and they influenced me in the wrong direction. I had a mother who was, you know, struggling with her own struggles, you know, but I was raised in the church, so I had the foundation set in me, you know, from the beginning, thank God.
You mentioned some of those struggles as far as things. Let me ask you this: you started to go into a path of addiction. Sounds like starting about 12. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Why? I always ask that because when someone goes into that addiction, that's replacing something.
Right. Right.
So, and I understand there's peer pressure. I get that. I was 12 at one time too. What was that? Was there a lie somewhere that you may have believed? And I know that may be a hard question to answer right off the cuff of your head, but is there something there that...
Well, looking back, it's easy for me to see that, you know, there are open doors, you know, in the spiritual realm, you know, through various different things. And what I believe is I just believe that's what the case was for me. You know, there was open doors into addiction, you know, even into my family line. You know, like I said, my mother was struggling. Now, I didn't know this. Being 12 years old, I didn't know what marijuana smelled like, you know, or what bloodshot eyes were or anything like that. But looking back, you know, she was already in those things, and I'm living in her home.
Yeah, she's bringing them into the house.
Right, right. Yeah, and my father as well had come from alcoholism and drug addiction, but he had, when he had the kids, he said, you know, this is enough's enough, so I'm going to put these things down and raise my kids. But, you know, in addition to all that, really, peer pressure had a large, did. I had a friend who lived down the street. He was 16 and I was 12, and he was a cool guy, you know, so I remember the first day he came and he presented me with some drugs, you know, marijuana, and he said, hey man, let's go, let's go, you know, have a smoke, and not being prepared as well. You know, I can look back and although there were those conversations where maybe my dad said, hey, you know, don't do drugs or just say no or those types of kind of general things, there was not much reason why. And so when it was presented to me, you know, I wasn't prepared. And so I went for it. And that was the beginning of a downhill spiral at the age of 12 years old.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just naive, you know, and wanting to be cool, mm-hmm. you know, and having those doors open in my life around me, probably that all played a role in it.
Now, you talked to us a little bit beforehand as well about after this addiction and what happened, and you kind of came to a, forgive the term, come to Jesus moment. Tell us about that and how that impacted you and changed the whole direction of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's really the highlight, you know, of my testimony with Christ, even to date. So I'll just kind of briefly bring us up to that point. Mm-hmm. You know, started messing with drugs and things at the age of 12. By the time I was 15, I was smoking methamphetamines.
Wow.
By the time I was 18, you know, I was doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I had also got to a place where I was breaking into houses
mm-hmm.
To support my habit. So, you know, I'm a full-blown criminal at this point, you know, by the age of 18 years old. And I got in trouble with the law. I got put on felony probation. But I just still couldn't do it. You know, and that's one of the things that in ministry, I minister to drug addicted young men,
mm-hmm.
and I truly can relate to the fact that, you know, a lot of these guys want help,
right?
Yeah.
But, you know, the enemy, he's real.
Yeah.
And when he gets a hand in your life, you need an act of God
mm-hmm.
To be relieved of that.
Mm.
So I can relate to that for sure. So at the age of 18 years old, I'm on felony probation and, you know, wanting off but couldn't get off. So I just continued to do what I was doing and continued to get in trouble with the law. Well, so my come to Jesus moment happened on June 10th, 2008. And that's a date that, you know, I'll always remember, that people who know me have heard me talk about
mm-hmm.
June 10th, 2008. I had been up for 4 days straight because wow. I was high on drugs.
Mm.
And I had this mobile home in Greenville, Texas, a little country town about an hour east of Dallas.
Mm.
And I'm sitting in the floor of the mobile home at midnight. I got all the lights off. Pretty much like a madman,
mm-hmm.
You know, kind of going a little bit crazy because I had run out of drugs, you know, and at that point I began searching after all the things that I had in my life that filled the void. You know, first drugs, but I couldn't get a hold of my dealers.
Mm-hmm.
So then girlfriends, but none of them were answering. So then guy friends, you know, just to have somebody around,
right.
Yeah.
But nobody was answering.
Mm.
So I found myself sitting in a room all alone.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time in a long time, I remember looking up from the floor. I was picking through the floor, just out of craziness, really, mm-hmm. picking through the floor. Maybe I'll find something there. That's just how far out of my mind I was. But I remember looking up from the floor, and there was a TV in front of me. And I could kind of see my reflection.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember looking and going, Josh, what are you doing?
Wow.
You've got family who love you. You got people who care for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know better. But, you know, nobody can help you right now because you're continuing in this cycle, you know, of drug use and addiction and all these things. And, you know, the enemy, he's pretty sly. He's a little bit smart, and I don't like to give him any credit.
But he's been at this for a little
He's been at it for a little while.
Yeah.
And, you know, even just those simple words, he knew that that was something in the right direction. You know, Josh, what are you doing?
Mm.
That was actually more so in the right direction than than anything that had come out of my mouth in a long time.
Right.
And, you know, he wanted to combat that.
Yeah.
You know, and literally, when I look back in the moment, it was literally like the cartoon when you have the demon on the left shoulder and the angel on mm-hmm. the right shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I'm sitting in the middle, and I said, Josh, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember very clearly, not necessarily audibly, but just very clear in my spirit. I remember the enemy. It was like he came into the room. He was probably already there, but he came into the room, and he said, Josh, it's okay. Keep doing what you're doing, because I was getting ready to get locked up and go to prison, and I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Keep doing what you're doing. you're going to jail pretty soon anyways, and when you go to jail, you can work through all these things, but party it up for now.
Until
you get there.
Wow.
And he spoke, and it was as if he left the room. And the next thing I remember, it was like the Lord came down the hallway. I had a hallway right there. Mm. The Lord came down the hallway and stood in the doorway.
Mm. Mm.
And, I mean, his presence was just so thick. Now, I grew up in church, and, you know, I was even a kid from time to time who would cry at the altars and things. And I knew my life was out of whack, mm-hmm. you know, and I knew Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know Jesus.
Gotcha.
And on this day, I got to know Jesus, and he mm-hmm. came into the room, man, and his presence was with me.
1 second.
Yeah.
Because we are going to take a break.
All right.
You like the way I did that, everybody? Yeah. We got to the crescendo.
Can't come back now.
Now, if you don't come back after this, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
But we are going to take a quick break, and we're going to have Josh continue the story. And just remember, the Lord is coming down the hallway.
Right.
That's right.
And something's about to happen.
Yeah.
But we'll be back right after this.
Mm.
Well, hi, everybody. Normally, we would go into a commercial break right now, but Kevin and I would like to just share our hearts with you if we could.
Absolutely.
Once again, I'm Gil Michelle.
I'm Kevin.
And we're just talking to you about the fact that we're looking to do a little bit of fundraising. We're looking to establish our own studio, a podcast studio, and we need the equipment to do that and take these testimonies and record them all across the country.
Absolutely.
So, Kevin, what are we trying to do?
Big goal. We're trying to raise $20,000.
Right.
And so we would love to have you donate. It's a little bit of a faith step on our part, but mm-hmm. we'd love you to help out spread this ministry across the country.
That's right. So if you would, please go to hisstoriespodcast.com and look for the donate link and see how you can give toward this goal. We don't Absolutely. Believe there's anything too hard for God, and we don't think you think that either.
Absolutely.
So please go to that website and give. We'd like to be able to set the studio up by the end of the year, and we'd love mm-hmm. for your help in doing so.
What was the broadcast again?
HisStoryPodcast.com.
Yeah.
And we are back with Mr. Josh Eaton, and he is giving his testimony, powerful testimony, how God literally snatched him out of the pits of the enemy. And so, Josh, you were just telling us that you're in this mobile home, you're on the floor, and you felt the enemy come in the room, and he left and told you, you know what, you're in regular jail, just party up, man, like, go for the gun, like go for it, right? Until you have to get locked. Yeah, still go for it. But then you said the Lord came in the room,
mm-hmm.
and that's where we ended. So we're going to jump right back into the story, right back into your testimony.
Yeah.
And you said the Lord comes down the hallway, and then what happens?
Yeah. So you know, I'm sitting there, and real quick, I just gotta plug my favorite song. You know,
sure.
there's a song out there right now, and the lyrics are, "When you walk into the room, everything changes."
Yes.
And that's just my life song because that's the truth.
When I love that song.
When the Lord comes in, things change.
Yeah.
And I got to experience that this day, June 10th, 2008.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I'm sitting there, and I just had this dialogue with the enemy, you know, but the enemy kind of was able to get his 2 cents in, and then he had to get out because something greater was coming in.
Mm.
And the Lord came in, and he stood over me, and he said, "Son, if you believe that, then you're believing a lie, and you're going to be in this cycle for the rest of your life."
Yeah.
Mm.
Now, one of the things being that I grew up in the church, you know, I grew up, you know, I was good at sports. I was good at all these things. You know, I was a good kid, right? And I think I kind of banked on that a little too much from time to time. I remember looking back thinking, you know, I'm a good kid. I'll snap out of this. And even people speaking that into my life.
Sure,
yeah.
Hey, you're a good kid. You'll snap out of this. These are things that kids do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, those are lies that can keep you bound.
Absolutely.
Because the enemy, with each new day that he's got you, he's, you know, gaining that stronger foothold.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so the more that we just kind of brush over, you know, the struggle and the problem, the stronger the foothold that we might be giving to the enemy. So anyways, I was banking on that. You know, I'm a good kid. And, well, the Lord broke that down, and he said, you know, if you're depending on just being a good person to get you through, then you're deceived, and, you know, you'll be here for the rest of your life.
Mm.
It's a vicious cycle, and it wants to kill you. So the Lord spoke, and he said, "Josh, you know, if you believe the lie, then you're deceived. The only thing that's going to free you is that you would surrender your life to me." Now, that sounds simple, but when the Lord speaks that, it carries weight.
Yeah.
And the Lord extended his hand to me that day in a very powerful way. And, you know, he invited me to surrender my life to him. Mm. And as a drug addict, you know that you don't just let go. You don't just say, okay, I'm done.
Right.
You know, you can't do that. But on this day when the Lord spoke, you know, I didn't even really do anything. That's one of the crazy things is I believe that I have a great understanding, especially with that experience, that all the glory goes to God. Mm. Because God came into the room, not because I was worthy, but because he chose to. Mm. God spoke into my spirit, yeah.
You weren't even seeking.
No, yeah. I wasn't.
He pursued you.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I just wanted to point that
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Well, that's what he does, though.
That's what he does.
Right? I mean, he pursues us. The question is, when we were talking earlier about, do we listen?
Do we listen? Do we respond?
And there was a point there, you know, where I just kind of hit you. There's a point there where you were open to at least listening.
Yes.
Right.
So, I mean, but he's a pursuer.
Yes.
And he will run after you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then,
and I'm thankful for that because if it wasn't for that, then I would probably still be there. I would probably still be in prison, you know, or dead even.
Yeah.
You know, so
well, we're interrupting you a lot, but as you were telling your story, even in the last segment, I was thinking, you're a miracle that you're here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You said that you broke into people's houses in Texas, okay? That's not a smart thing to do.
Right. Right.
Most people that I think of in Texas got guns, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so if I have to spell that out, you're fortunate to be alive.
Yes, I am.
You know? And so the very blessing of the fact that you're breathing is an amazing thing. I'll let you get back to your story.
Is a miracle.
It's a miracle in itself.
It definitely is. Yeah. It definitely is. So just kind of to bring it all together there, the Lord spoke and just extended his hand in an invitation to surrender my life to him. And when he spoke, you know, when the creator of the soul speaks into the soul, the soul responds.
Mm.
And my soul responded in that moment, and I said yes to the Lord. And that's all I did. I literally remember just saying yes.
Mm.
And in my yes, the chains of addiction were broken completely, immediately, on the spot. Absolutely. Everything. I was set free, you know, from head to toe, you know, right there on the spot. Now, I also remember thinking, you know, I'm, as far as a career, as far as a future, as far as any of that, I have no concerns of that anymore because now I'm giving my life to the Lord, and he's going to take care of absolutely every nook and cranny of my life, you know. So
you're giving your life to the Lord.
Yeah.
It's his.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this real quickly. Would you sense this deep healing?
Oh, absolutely.
Because you mentioned he, the creator of the universe, is now talking to your soul.
Yes.
Yeah. So I just, you know, wanted to go along with that because I have felt that in my life. And I know people who believe in Jesus Christ, if you've experienced Christ where where he is talking to you, where there is a pain, there is this enduring pain. And when he speaks, you know, there's this deep inner healing that takes place.
Yeah.
So, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, well, I remember getting up from the floor in that moment, you know, having this conversation with the Lord, him setting me free, and getting up from the floor and going straight to bed and laying down. Now, that might sound, you know, like not much, but in those days, I couldn't even lay my head on the pillow without being high, drunk, or having something in my life to help comfort me.
Yeah.
But I just remember going to sleep that night with such peace.
Mm.
And, you know, that within itself was a great testimony.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so now practically, so after this, you have to go ahead and do time shortly after this.
Right.
And so How long were you in prison?
For 1 year.
For 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come out. It's not like you just have prison religion.
Right.
You come out, that's probably still on fire, still loving the Lord.
Yes.
And then what has been happening in the 3 minutes that we have left, as time has been flying, in the 3 minutes, what has happened since then, and where are you now?
Yeah. Well, that was, let's see, 7 years ago.
Okay.
And after all of that, the Lord said, I want you to go to a ministry called Teen Challenge.
Mm. Yeah.
And I want you to enroll yourself there because there's many things that I want to teach you. I want to mature you. I want to give you character. You've been set free, but there's still many things that you as a man of God need to learn, and this is where I'm going to found it. Mm. And it was in the ministry of Teen Challenge, specifically the one in Dallas, Texas. So I went through Teen Challenge, and I graduated Teen Challenge. God was faithful to His word. He just taught me, discipled me, set my feet, you know, on a firm foundation. And from there, He actually sent me out to open my own business. Mm-hmm. For about 3 years, me and my wife journeyed on this venture to run this small coffee shop in Rockwall, Texas, and you know, that was just a reach to the community.
Yeah.
But since then, He's brought me back to Teen Challenge now to minister and to teach guys who are, you know, going through Teen Challenge. So He's kind of brought it full circle.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a blessing to be in the ministry and loving on guys who are going through what I've been through.
Wow. Yeah. That is awesome. So now you're here, based in Indiana, and working with Teen Challenge.
Elkhart, right?
In Elkhart, okay. Yeah. Elkhart.
North Central Indiana Teen Challenge.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I saw some things on the news, and some had a really good friend also involved with that as well. Man, so now you guys met in a sort of men's meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could, in, I don't know, 60 seconds or so, talk about your perspective with worship. You were sharing that right beforehand.
Right.
And I just thought it was so profound. If you could, just kind of share that if you could.
Yeah, definitely. Well, God's opened doors for, you know, opportunities in worship.
Mm-hmm.
While I was in Teen Challenge, actually, He gave me the gift of worship. I had never sang or played a guitar before that.
Wow, really? Oh, my gosh.
And I began to pray because I wanted to express my love for the Lord through worship, and He gave it to me.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was a
you're good, too.
Yeah.
Good thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
God's using you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't get to expand that a whole lot over the past, you know, 5 or 6 years, but since I've been here over the past 3 years, He's just really opened doors. But what He's showing me more than anything is that the foundation of worship has to be sitting before the Lord, you know, to sit before the Lord and worship. And we have, you know, corporate worship sets, and those are amazing too.
Yeah.
But if you're not getting that one-on-one time with Jesus and worshiping Him, you know, you're missing the foundation. So that's where He has me with worship.
Wow. And being married to a worship leader, I know just how important that is.
Yeah.
Because that's where she tells me she gets her life. And really, it's not just for worship leaders. It's for everyone who calls himself a believer.
Right.
You know, our time in worship, whether you do it with an instrument or whether you just do it out of your own spirit and your own soul, worship is before the Lord should be the primary thing.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Josh, thank you so much
for
sharing
your
testimony. We'll put information if you would like that where people can get in contact with you. I'm sure you do some speaking and sharing your testimony. So if you would like to do that, we'll have that information in the podcast notes. So
definitely.
Amen. Well, shall I close out in prayer?
Yeah,
Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for the privilege of being sitting front row to what you're doing in the life of a believer, Lord. We thank you for Josh. Thank you for his gift of worship, his perspective of worship, and how you have used his life and totally transformed his life so that he can then pull others and snatch them out of the fire as well. Mm. We bless your name and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories, so drop us a line at hisstoriesbroadcast.com. That's hisstoriesbroadcast.com to add your part to the story God is telling.